Let's read together from Ephesians chapter 3. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test the length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives. Full in the fullness of God. Have you ever become aware of the gap in your life between what you think and what you do? I mean, think, want, desire, decide, and actually do. For instance, your family. I'd like to spend more time with a family. Is it happening? You've got your reasons. You know, I want to be fit. But I'm not so committed to a training program. And perhaps there are more some more personal issues like my temper or procrastination. I don't want to do that, but I do it. Perhaps there's a hidden addiction that you're sitting with. Makes me think about the three pastors who went out to fish on a boat. And while they were there, one of the pastors said, "Isn't this wonderful? Safe space. Eventually, we can just be ourselves." You know, it's so hard because people expect so much of us. And we can't share what's really going on in our hearts. We'll be condemned. So I'd like to take this opportunity and tell you guys that whiskey is my thing. Late at night, when everybody's gone to bed, I'll take out the bottle of whiskey and I drink too much. I know that and I feel bad about it. But thank you for listening. I feel better now, knowing that somebody knows about it. And the other guy said, gambling, that's my issue. It's right next to the old age home, the casino, and I spend more time at the casino than at the old age home. And I keep on losing money, and I just can't let go. I just feel like my whole world would be and life would be so different if I hit the jackpot. And it just pulls me going back there all the time. So, brothers, now you know it. Think about me. And they looked at the other guy, and he didn't say anything. And they said, "Come on, you've got to say something," because we all did. And he said, "Okay, and I'll be honest with you guys. My issue is gossip, and I can't wait to get back home now." We all have a gap. Do you acknowledge it? Would you say, "It's not that bad. Everybody else has"? Do you know the effect of that gap in your life? It's called an integrity gap. Because what you see is not what you get. You are not completely one. That gap is directly linked to the joy that you experience in life. If you live according to your values, say your family or whatever, it makes you feel good about yourself and about life. So it's very important not to belittle that gap, but to really to take it seriously and to acknowledge it. And then, of course, the big question is, what do I do with that gap? And perhaps you ignore it because you've given up on it. Because you would discover that willpower is not enough to close that gap. You know, fear is not enough. You know, just think about it. And what the people will think about God. God's going to punish you if you do this. Fear only helps for a little while. And specifically at a certain stage in your life, it helps. Guilt, I feel so bad about it, you know? And I just hammer myself all the time. Does that produce any results? No, it doesn't help you. And Paul gives us a wonderful gift in this prayer that he prays. He actually gives us the answer to this question, how? And there's three big invitations. And the first one is to a faith practice of prayer. He says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray. When I think of this, I pray, I fall to my knees. When I think about what? Well, what he just spoke about, the first two chapters. He said, when I think about the fact that, 1 verse 4, that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ Jesus, we have been elected, you know, before the foundations of the world, we are made his children. He has graced us. We are graced in the beloved. He has delivered us. We know his will. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and he's given the Spirit as the first deposit of what's going to come for us. He just goes on telling us who we are and what God has done for us. And at that stage, a lot of us would just start to worship. And he says, no, 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 no. It's time to pray. After the prayer, he start to worship. But it's time to pray. Why? What for? For this specific reason. You might know a lot of stuff, but you have not experienced it. It's not a reality in your life. So what he prays for is for the head to ascend into the heart so that you might really feel it, live it, be it, you know? The way that we turn thoughts, ideas into reality is through prayer. And I don't know how you feel about prayer, if it excites you. I mean, for years, that word just took out every piece of life in me when I heard it. I felt guilty. I felt, please, don't be so negative, you know, don't be so fundamentalistic, you know. But actually, it's a wonderful word. It has to do with relationship. It is a word that we use to describe our relationship with God, our communication, our connection. And that, of course, is one of the deepest desires in our lives, is to connect. We cannot live without connection, not to nature, to each other, to God, to ourselves. What is a connection? A connection is a space that comes into being when people feel that they have been seen, they've been heard, and they've been accepted. When people feel that, a connection, a space comes into being. And in that space, there's a transference. There's a giving and a taking, non-judgmental. If you experience something like that, the effect would be that you'll be energized, that you will be thankful, that you will find deep meaning in life. We need prayer. We need connection. And we've got to learn to do it. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, would you please teach us to pray? In Luke 11. And it's interesting, they saw him doing a lot of things. They didn't ask him once to teach them how to cast out demons, to heal the sick, or to preach, or to do a miracle. They only ask him to teach them to pray, because they realize that's where everything flows from that relationship he has with the Father. Teach us, please. And here Paul is teaching us something. You've got to kneel. Now, it wasn't the custom to kneel when you pray. Luke 18, they stood and pray. But to kneel, it means that you're taking, it's a posture. A disciple knelt and sat at the feet of his rabbi in order to learn from the rabbi, to become like the rabbi. So it's a whole person. Jesus said, you've got to have a place. You've got to have the word. You've got to have a lot of stuff. And it's a wonderful journey to learn how to pray in different ways with your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. You've got to learn. So what are you praying for? Love. That's the second thing. Paul says, I kneel and I pray. And I pray for you to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I pray that you might know. So the word for know in the Greek is to know practically for yourself through experience. There are two ways to know something: cognitively, rationally, or by experience. It's a more comprehensive way of knowing. It's a sensing, a feeling, a felt, a knowledge, everything together. It's more to know with a heart. So Paul prayed for three things: that they might be strengthened in the inner man, that they might comprehend. And comprehend is more than to have knowledge of. It is to have some insight and understanding into the love of God. But now he prays that they might experience the love of God. So it's possible that we might have a lot of knowledge and not have love. It's impossible that we might experience power, and we might think it is love that we're experiencing and not experience the love of God. Of course, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, you know. He said, I might have all the knowledge in the world and not have love. I might have power, you know, to shift mountains and faith to shift, but I might not have love. I can just imagine the disciples. Now, they experienced the power and they were very excited about it. They came back to Jesus and said, we're healing the sick. We're casting out demons. But they walked and they quarreled amongst each other. Who's the most important one amongst us? Because Jesus said he's going to leave them. He's going to establish a new kingdom. So they're talking, who's going to be his right-hand man, or who's going to take over? And I can just imagine Nathaniel, I'm the oldest. John, I'm the beloved. Peter, haven't you heard him? He said, on this rock, I will build my church. James, no, this is a family business. What are you talking about? And Jesus spoke to them. And actually, when he heard them, they came to a place to have a meal. And nobody wanted to wash each other's feet, because at that moment, they would say, I'm the least, because it's the work of the slave. And Jesus kneeled down and started washing their feet. And then he started teaching them about service, about love, about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. It's love. It's love. And God loves us. And we must experience that love. Now, the Lynn says, God loves us at least as much as the person who loves us the most. And they recommend that when you pray, first take a moment to recollect and think about the deep love in your life. Who do you love? How does it make you feel? Who loves you? How does it make you feel? And then imagine that love is love from God, that he loves you that much. A while ago, I spent some time with my grandson, Aaron, and his father, my son, said at a stage, Dad, I never knew that I could love somebody so much as I love Aaron. He said, I wouldn't even think about it in giving my life for him if it was necessary so that he can live. I really have an unconditional love for him. And at that now moment, I said, I know, my son, I've experienced it the same way you did. And it might just be that we feel for a moment something that God feels. His love. And he loves us unconditionally. And he loves us with a love that he would give his life if it's necessary for us. And it was. And he did give his love for us, his life for us, so that we can live. That's the love that God has for us. And we must experience it. How do we experience it? Well, we can experience it mystically in ourselves. Romans 8:16, Living Bible says that the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us we are the children of God. Have you ever heard that voice? The Spirit. Perhaps he would just convict you. He'll just give you that sense. You'll just know that you know. You'll be flooded with love. We need to hear that voice more often and clearer. We need it. We might experience the love through the body of Christ. People coming to us, ministering to us, to our needs. Physical needs, you know, gifts of healing, gifts of knowledge, of insight, of support, of encouragement. There are so many different gifts. And a wonderful way that you experience it is if you discover your gifts and you start using your gifts. Jesus said that encounter with a person that you fed that were hungry was actually an encounter with me. You'll experience the love of God and you'll be full of God. You'll become full by experiencing the love of God will fill you up with the love of God. That's the way. And the Greek Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox Church, there's the dogma of theosis. Theos is God and it says becoming like God. And the idea is that it's not just something that's going to happen to us someday when we die, but now. It can start and we can change and we can metamorphosis, transcend. We can change and become more and more like God till one day he will be everything in everybody. So how would somebody look like who's full of God? You know? Well, Paul immediately starts discussing a way of life. Being full with God doesn't make you anything less or more or other than human. Irenaeus, the old church father, said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. It's being fully human and fully alive. That's the vision. That's what life and true life is like. And that's what would happen to you if you're full with God and you'd be best be seen in the relationships next to you. That's what Paul starts with the relationships. He says, women, submit to your husbands. Okay, that's 5:22. 21 says, men, submit to your women, to your wives. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. By serving the church, by giving himself open totally to the church, by living for the church. Children, be obedient. Honor your father and your mother. Because you've got to learn to honor other people. You've got to learn to honor life. You've got to live with fidelity in this life. You learn it in the house early. Fathers, and one translation says, help your children to live in the right way. Help them with discipline. And I couldn't help but think that the invitation for fathers is to help with the moral development of our children. To help them discover what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad in life. To make a commitment to be honorable, to be faithful, to live for the good and for the good of everybody else, to live with delayed gratification, with self-discipline, because life would be so much better if we can do it. Servants, fire your bosses. You're not living for them anymore. You're living for Jesus, for God. He's your big boss now. And you don't do things to impress your boss anymore. You don't just do things when your boss look. You do it for God, everything. Masters, don't be harsh with your servants, because remember, you're a slave of Christ. And look at how Christ is, what's Christ doing to you and how he handles you. That's the way you've got to handle your servants. What a vision. What a vision of life and of prayer and a life with God and of what can happen with us and through us. So here's the invitation perhaps for this week to live with a grace. I ask for a deep sense of your love and your care for me. Live with that short prayer. Pray it as often as you think about it during this week, every day for this week. You can get a reminder, prayer beads, or set your watch every hour just to beep so that you be reminded, and just breathe this prayer. I ask for a deep sense or a consciousness or a feeling of your love and your care for me. At the end of the day, you do a reflection prayer and you ask God just to quicken your memory as you think back about the day. Where did you experience love? Where did you experience love? Connect it to God and thank God for that experience of love, because it comes from him. All love comes from him. And where didn't I experience it? Where was there no love? And we talk to God about it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you've given us such a wonderful life. Thank you for a life with you. And we want to go deeper. We want to experience your power. We want to really understand your love, comprehend it, and we want to know it. We want to experience it. Fill us with your love. And let everything be conquered by this love in us. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.